Hey everyone, my name is Keaton. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here. We want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you're blessed by today's message.
So we're back in our series again, the series, The God of the Second Chance, and talking about the way in which there are multiple characters throughout the story of Scripture, the truth of Scripture, that we see make massive mistakes, but God still uses them in massive ways. And so over these next weeks, we're going to continue to take a look at these people who God gave second chances to and reflect on the way in which God's mercy, his patience, and his character led to their restoration. And so this reality that we sin, but God does not just toss us away because of our sin. And so tonight, I'm really excited because we get a chance to take a look at one of my favorite characters in the New Testament, a guy by the name of Peter. Now, if you know much about Peter, when I was growing up and I heard about Peter, I'd always kind of thought of him as a little bit of the punk of Scripture, the smart aleck. Right? If you've read any stories about Peter, he's the one that whenever Jesus will ask a question, he's the one that really wants to find an answer or just blurt out the first thing that comes to his mind. And then usually when Jesus corrects him, he starts blurting out the second thing that comes to his mind. And oftentimes it would get him in a lot of trouble. And he had this picture of himself that was a lot more prideful than he actually could live up to. And I remember growing up and thinking about Peter, and whenever I would think about Peter, I would always kind of be like, oh, dude, I don't want to talk about Peter. He's just kind of like the disciple that screws up all the time. But the older and older I got, and the more and more I lived and made mistakes and tried to figure out what it meant to follow Jesus, the more and more that I saw Peter as a punk, the more and more I realized that I'm a pretty big punk too. And so I started time and time again looking at the life of Peter and seeing myself as someone who makes a ton of mistakes but somehow still finds the way to have the pride to think that I don't make those mistakes and then make those same mistakes again. And so I love the picture of Peter because really when we talk about the God of the second chance, Peter got way more than two chances. But tonight we're going to look at a specific chance or a specific restoration and really the one that sticks for Peter and what led to it finally making sense for him. And so I'm super excited for that. But before we dive in, let's pray together. If you'd bow your heads with me. Lord, we come to you this evening and we ask that you would teach us, Lord, that you would teach us through your wonderful word. Lord, tonight, that as we dive into your word, you would guide us, you would direct us, you would help us to see more of your character and more of your call for each one of us. Lord, as we look at the story of Peter, a disciple that you loved and cared for, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see ourselves and see the immense love that you have for us. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So with me to the book of John chapter 21. I want to take a second. John chapter 21 is where we see this interaction between Jesus and Peter. But I wanted to give you a little bit of a background of who Peter was. So many of the disciples, Peter included, were fishermen, and they were called by Jesus from being fishermen to being his disciples. Now, some of his disciples did other things, but for the most part, many of them were fishermen. And there are several points, if you read through the New Testament, where the disciples, they'll get distracted by something, or they'll get discouraged by something, and they'll go back to fishing. That's kind of like their comfort thing. And so there's time and time again where Jesus will show up and he'll talk to them while they're fishing. And so if you have read the Bible recap last year, if you're reading it this year, or maybe if you're reading through the Bible for the first time, you'll maybe notice there's like several different times in which Jesus shows up and talks to them while they're fishing. And you might think that they're all just different versions of one instance, but that's not the case. It's because many times, like I said, they would screw up, they would get distracted, and they would just end up going back to fishing. And so just before this this interaction that we see in John chapter 21, Jesus had actually died on the cross, and then he rose again. And in the process of this, if you don't know the story of Peter, Peter was the disciple. The disciple kind of prided himself on being the best and thought of himself as the one who was the most devoted to the Lord. Well, while they're sitting at the Last Supper, Jesus says that you're going to deny me, tells Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. Peter is like, come on, Jesus, like, you know me, I'm not going to do that. Like, don't even think about it. Don't let it cross your mind. That's like light work. Like, I will take care of that. I'm not going to do that. And what do you know? Multiple times, 3 times exactly as Jesus says, Peter denies Christ. People show up and say, hey, I thought I saw you with that guy, Jesus. Like, Jesus, never heard of him, right? And so he does that multiple different times. The rooster crows, and immediately he comes to that realization, I just did exactly what Jesus told me that I was going to do. I just did the thing that I said that I would never do. I denied the person who I said was most important to me in this world. And he messed up. Messed up in a pretty major way, right? And so, after his denial of Jesus, what is it you think that he goes back to do? Goes to fish, right? He's like, screwed up. Jesus died on the cross. I am definitely not worth it anymore. He goes, so I guess I'll go back to the same old, the only thing I know. Now, we know that fishing is not a sin, right? But the picture of fishing in the disciples' lives was their old self, their old ways, their old habits. And so there is this tendency, not only in the life of Peter, but in our lives, when we make massive mistakes, when we look at ourselves and tell ourselves that we can no longer be used by God, when we want to run and hide because we're ashamed of what we've done, we go back to old habits. We run back to our old ways. We find ourselves in our old patterns. We find ourselves around the old people, the same old people who got us in the circumstance in the first place. And so right out of the gate, we see a stark warning in the pattern of Peter's life. That when we sin, we can't let ourselves go back to the old ways. We can't let ourselves get caught up in the old routines, in the old habits, in the old addictions. We have to look and say, we've been made new, so we live new. And so we have to watch out and stay living new. That's the first thing that we see in Peter's life. Right out of the get-go, not only did he mess up by denying Jesus, he messed up because he went back to the same old, instead of realizing that he was called to live differently. But when he was out fishing, one of the things that's interesting is that's where Jesus shows up. A lot of times we think we have to get ourselves right to interact with Jesus. We have to wait and get things figured out before we go to Jesus. But the reality is, Peter was still living in his mistakes. And Jesus showed up to meet him. For some of you this evening, you're putting off an interaction with Jesus. You're not wanting to spend some time praying. You're not wanting to touch your Bible because you're like, I need to get things right before I touch my Bible. I need to get rid of some of the sin before I start reading my Bible. Or I need to fix some things in my life before I start to pray. That's not the reality at all. The Lord is waiting to hear from you. And so I love that Jesus shows up. He has a conversation with them fishing. And then what Jesus tells them to do, I love, is he calls them back to the shore and he tells them to make breakfast so that they can eat and talk. Even Jesus knows the most difficult conversations need to happen over food. Right? That's what he says. He's like, make some food, right? We're going to have a difficult conversation enough. Better have it on a full stomach, right? That, or at least that's what I like to think. I don't know that there's really any theological implication behind that, but I just love that idea. And now whenever I have difficult conversations, I love to have them over food because food just helps it go down a little bit easier, right? Whatever the difficult conversation is. And so in John chapter 21, starting in verse 15, we see that Jesus singles out Peter. And he starts to have a very pointed conversation with Peter. Now, I imagine if you haven't heard this story and you're thinking about what this conversation is going to look like, you would have you'd have something in common with Peter here. You think that this conversation is going to go one direction, but Jesus actually takes it in a whole different direction, right? You would think naturally that, you know, Peter makes a pretty sizable mistake, abandons the life that he's been living following Christ, and goes back to old habits. You would think that Jesus is about to show up and chew him out. Be like, dude, what are you thinking? What are you doing? This is not what I've taught you over these years with you. This is not the person that I called you to be. And also, what were you doing those three times? That's what you would think the natural response would be from Jesus, that he'd be frustrated, he'd be irritated, he'd be agitated at Peter because Peter messed up. And I can imagine that that's probably what Peter thinks. I can imagine Peter's probably picking at his breakfast because his stomach doesn't feel too good because he's worried about the next words that are going to come out of Jesus's mouth. But instead, the conversation goes very differently. And I think that it's important for us to see. Jesus is not only demonstrating this to Peter, he's demonstrating this to all of us, sinners, screw-ups, and punks. We see this, John 21, starting in verse 15, going through verse 17, says this. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now pause there. Remember what I said about Peter being a little bit of a punk? That's a pretty punk answer, right? He just denied Jesus three times, went back to his own way of fishing. And when Jesus says, do you love me? He doesn't just simply say yes. He says, no, you know that I love you, right? And I'm looking and saying, careful being that bold, Peter, right? You just kind of demonstrated a little bit of the opposite with your life. But the reality is he had such a faith that Jesus knew his heart. And he knew that he loved the Lord, but he had made mistakes. Continuing, Jesus, he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so this conversation, which you would typically think would revolve around Peter's failure, Peter's rejection of Jesus, Peter's return to his old ways and his old habits, is all about how Peter is going to be used by God. Instead of it being about the ways that Peter failed, the ways that Peter messed up, instead of it being about how Peter screwed up or having this long, drawn-out conversation of why Peter needed to feel bad, Jesus simply looked at him and said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Be used by me. Follow the call. Be motivated. Be mobilized to do what I'm calling you to do. What Jesus wanted Peter to understand was that his failure does not disqualify him from being used by God. That Peter's failure does not disqualify him from being used by God. That's the picture of the gospel. We're all failures. We're all sinners. We're all broken. We've all disobeyed God. We've all chosen our own paths rather than the path that God has laid out for us. We've all put ourselves at war with the Most High God. But God, because he loved us, sent his son Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for our sins. For your sins, for my sins, for Peter's sins. And to restore us. Not just die for our sins past, but for all of our sins. To forgive all of our sins. And so the reality is, God came for sinners. And if the only people that could be used by God were those who were without sin, we'd all be disqualified. But sometimes we think that in our sin, we can never be used by God. Pastor, I know you're getting up there and you're trying to teach what Scripture says, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know who I am. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the things that I've said. You don't know the people that I've hurt. You don't know the time I've spent in prison. You don't know. I look at you and say, I don't. I don't know everything. But the reality is, I can tell you there is this one truth. You are not a better sinner than Christ is a Savior. I say that all the time. Because in our minds, the pride in our minds, yes, it's pride, wants to tell us we are the best at being the worst. That I am somehow better at sinning. I can accrue such a debt that the death of Christ could not pay for it. That's just simply not true. Now, does our sin have earthly consequences? Yes. But that doesn't mean you can't be used by the Lord. Doesn't mean you can't be used by the Lord in some facets. Doesn't mean you can't preach the gospel. Doesn't mean you can't talk to people and share with them your testimony. Doesn't mean you can't pray for your brothers and sisters who are struggling in temptation. Doesn't mean you can't encourage them. Doesn't mean you can't be used by the Lord. And so here is this moment, right, where Peter thinks that this is going to be all about his failure. But instead, Jesus shows up and he says, if you love me, then get back on mission. Stop living the life that you were living as a fisherman and start living as one that's feeding my sheep. And so the reality is, being used by God means living differently. Here's what Jesus is saying. A disciple makes disciples. A disciple makes disciples. What did Jesus demonstrate as he walked this earth? He preached and taught the word of God. And he did that in many different facets to the crowds. But he consistently did it to his disciples, to the people in his immediate vicinity. If we're called to live the life following Christ, then we have to make those same disciples. That's our aspect of being used by God. The call to Peter here, yes, Peter does it in a very unique way, but the call is not any different than what we're given throughout the whole of the New Testament, to go and make disciples. So what does it mean to follow Christ? To love other people. To love other people. And a lot of times when we talk about loving other people, we leave it very like 10,000 feet, right? We just kind of say the word, oh, I love people. And then we don't really talk about how that practically looks in our lives. We're not just called to say we love people, because talk is cheap. A lot of us know that in this room. The reality is we're called to actually love people. And so one of the best ways that you can love people is to make sure that they know the gospel of Jesus Christ. To make sure that they don't spend eternity in hell separated from the Most High God because they simply never heard about the salvation that was offered because of Jesus Christ. To make sure that they know the forgiveness that you received because of Jesus, that they can receive because of Jesus. You want to talk about how you love people? Talk to them about who Jesus is and what Jesus did for you. That is one of the best ways you can love people. And if you won't tell people in your world about Jesus, you are not loving them. I know that's a really hard, just hard truth. It's withholding salvation. Now, Christ will save how Christ will save. It's not dependent on you. But what I will say is, if you have the truth of salvation and you refuse to share it, how can we say we're loving people? Now, some people just aren't going to accept that truth. Some people won't receive that forgiveness. That doesn't mean we just keep beating them over the head with the Bible. But what it does mean is we continue to demonstrate with our lives. Asking them, hey, how can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Encouraging them. Continuing to share your story. Man, this is what God is doing in my life. And to demonstrate the truths in Scripture to them. That's how you love people well. Whether that's through patience and kindness, whether that's through speaking truth in their life, it all comes back to the reality of the gospel. And the reality is, being used by God, being given this second chance, means taking this second chance, living differently because of it. One of the things that I love about this story is this is kind of the peak, the pinnacle of Peter's story. He kind of like lived this life where he was just kind of screwing up after screwing up after screwing up, right? Where he is constantly trying to be the best, be the best, be the best. And then there's this moment of failure. And then there's this massive peak of redemption where Jesus shows up in this moment. And Peter is a different dude after this. Now, Peter makes mistakes after this. Right? I don't want you to get it twisted. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all sin. That's the forgiveness of the Lord that continues to show up in our lives. But there comes a moment where we have to look and say, we're done going back to the old. And we're living in the new. Peter doesn't go back to fishing. Maybe he does it for a hobby every now and then in Scripture. We don't really get a picture. But he never goes back to the life of a fisherman. He's done. He's a disciple after this. And so the reality is, being used by God is staying used by God. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter, written by Peter, same guy. So, right, he goes from this moment of failure to writing books in the New Testament. Talk about a redemption arc. 1 Peter 4:8, he says this about what it means to stay the course, right? He's writing this, and I feel like he's writing this as much about his story as he is encouraging other people's story. He says this, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. There is this picture of what it means to follow Jesus. It's to continuously love people, to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, continue to recognize the love that you've received through Christ Jesus. You want to continue on your walk following the Lord? Continue being used by Him. We have gotten into this state as people that I think we're all pushing for that day we can finally be done, right? We're looking for retirement. I think sometimes we do that in ourselves as well. We're looking for when spiritual retirement is, right? And it's like, oh, I'll finally know enough or put in enough work in my spiritual life that I can just kind of coast into eternity. And I shared this story with the table leaders downstairs. It's one of my absolute favorite stories. There's a more seasoned saint, that's why I call it a little bit older saints, who grabbed me after a Sunday gathering up in our Davison location. And she's in her 80s, and she came up to me and she said, Pastor, I would love to sit down with you this week. And typically when people say they want to sit down with you this week, that's not always a good conversation. One that I would most likely like to have over food, like I said earlier. And I said, you know, that'll work. You know, I set up a time with her and we sit down at the church. And she comes into my office. She's like, Pastor, I got three things that I want to talk to you about. I said, okay, hit me with them. She said, first thing, she had some spiritual questions that she wanted to make sure that we were on the same page about. She was a little bit newer to the church. At that point, I was a little bit newer to the church. And so she just wanted to make sure that we lined up on some really important spiritual topics. And I said, okay. So we talked about them a little bit. We were on the same page. She said, fantastic. It was, since you're my pastor, I think it's important that we plan my funeral. And I said, okay, that was a little bit of a shock. She goes, you're my pastor. I want to make sure you do it. And I want to make sure it's done the way that I want. And I said, okay, fine. That works. Like, let's sit down. I got out a notepad and wrote down some things. And so we walked through that for a period of time. And then she's like, I got one more thing I want to talk about. I said, okay. She goes, how can I serve here at the church? She said, I don't walk real well. I have a hard time standing for long periods of time. Is there something I can do? Is there some place that I could serve at the church where I can still be used? Because I think it's important that I'm used by God. Here's this sweet, precious old lady who I just got done planning her funeral. She knows she's getting near to the end of her life. And she looks at me and says, until that time, I will serve the Lord. In whatever capacity I can serve the Lord, I will serve the Lord. That is the heart that Peter is talking about here. You want to stay the course? There is no coasting. There is no spiritual retirement. We are called by the Lord to press on towards the upward call of Christ. It's continuous. One of the reasons why Peter never went back to being a fisherman, I honestly think he just simply didn't have the capacity to do it anymore. Why? Because he was so deeply invested in what Christ was doing in his life and in the lives of people around him. That's where we have to get. Where we look and say, we are so devoted to who Jesus is making us. We are so devoted towards loving people and devoted to what Christ is doing in the lives of other people that I just simply can't even think about going back to the old. And so tonight, I want to set this before you. I want you to take some time, pray. Maybe it's during this last song. Maybe it's coming forward. There'll be table leaders down here. They would love to pray with you. I want you to reflect and say, are you going to go back to your fishing boat like Peter? Are you going to go back to the same thing you've always done to not change, not let your relationship with the Lord impact you? Or are you going to be like Peter and be mobilized by Jesus? Or are you going to be changed by how Jesus has impacted you? Are you going to leave here tonight and be someone who listens to the Lord's voice, who trusts in what he says, who seeks to understand what his word means for you, confessing your sins and being used by the gospel? Because here's the deal. Nothing about tonight and tomorrow in the rest of the world is really going to change all that much. And so it's super easy for you to leave this room and go back home or go back wherever you're going tonight and nothing change. Go back, get on the fisherman's boat, and fish in those old habits. The only thing that changes is from the Holy Spirit working on your heart. And so tonight, you have the opportunity. Maybe it's through prayer, like I said. Table leaders down here at the front, they'd love to pray with you. They'd love to encourage you. They'd love to spend some time going before the Lord. Maybe you have some sin in your life that you have been afraid to talk to the Lord about because you've been ashamed. They would love to pray with you. But my encouragement to you tonight is to look and say, even though the rest of the world may not change, I will. I will be mobilized for Christ. I will be impacted by Christ. I will live differently. I will continue on in my walk with Christ. My encouragement to you is to look and say, I want to be used like Peter. Let's pray. Lord, I love the testimonies in your word. Lord, I love the testimony of Peter. How Peter messes up, rejects you, goes back to old habits, and yet you still show up and call him to something greater. Lord, you call us to something greater as well. First, to salvation, Lord, and we are so desperately thankful for salvation. A salvation that is only possible through your death and your resurrection on the cross. Lord, I pray tonight for whoever it is in this room who's sitting and knows they need the redemption that you offer, but is feeling like they need to get things more together, or they need to figure some things out. Lord, I pray that you would help them to take a step of faith, that you would help my friends in this room to look and to recognize that Christ is showing up, asking them to follow him. Lord, I pray for whoever it is in this room tonight who is caught up in the old ways, in the old habits, in the old relationships, in the old ways that sin kept them in. Lord, I pray that you would show up in their lives like you showed up in the life of Peter, and that you would help them to see the life that they've been called to. One following you, one loving people, one being used and restored for your purposes. Lord, we love you and we love your word, and we're so thankful for the teaching, the instruction, the challenge, and the encouragement that comes from it. Lord, I pray that during this next song that you would help each one of us to reflect on our lives, reflect on that call, and to really make a decision of whether we leave impacted, living differently, or we don't. Lord, we trust you, we turn to you, in your precious holy name, Jesus' name.